boom, boom, boom. Loud music could be heard all over the place. I sat in a space between five tents with Jamie and seven others who were the same age as us. We had bought a bag of logs and lit a nice big fire right in the middle of the space. It lit up our happy faces and cast long shadows behind our backs. Not far away, other young people sat in small groups as well. In addition to the sound of music, there was a recurring sound of bottles being opened and people who were talking and laughing. Life felt so easy in those days. Lucy was lying with her head in my lap. She was sweet. I could see that Jamie fancied her and was a bit jealous. I'm pretty short for a guy and pretty skinny. Girls usually find me cute, but they never see me as boyfriend material. Jamie kept looking at Lucy. He seemed nervous, as if he didn't know if he was good enough for her. She looked back in quick glimpses and sent him short, tempting looks. But she kept her distance, which made Jamie totally insecure. "You're teasing him," I said to her, with my mouth close to her ear. She sent me a big smile. "I have to find out what kind of a guy he is," she said. "I need to know what he is like before I let him get close to me." She giggled. I stroked her hair and knew that if I had had just the tiniest chance with her, I would have taken it. She was gorgeous. A sweet smell spread around the fire. Jamie, Lewis and Sammy shared a joint between them. They offered it to others who, like me, declined. Jamie began to look less nervous, and after a while he was totally calm. He laughed, said funny things, and made everybody around the fire laugh too. Every time Lucy laughed at the things he said, I could see that he felt it as a small victory. Shortly after, he got up and sat down next to me, and before long, Lucy's head was resting on Jamie's lap instead of mine. Lucy was about to give in to his charms. They both looked happy and acted like playful lambs in April. A girl from a group close by came over. She looked nice. She sat down next to Lewis. I envied him a bit. The music died out and I grabbed my guitar. She joined in on all the good old songs you always sing around a fire. After a while, she and Rachel came over and sat down next to me. "I'm Amy," she said, and gave me her hand. "I'm David," I said, and smiled my biggest smile. Every time a song stopped, Rachel and Amy asked for a new one. Time flew by. And when I looked up, I saw that Jamie and Lucy had left. From the far east, a vague red light could be seen. The sun was about to rise. I got up to leave so I could get some sleep. Amy immediately got up too. She was so pretty. Not very tall, but quite curvy. She looked just the way a girl should look, in my opinion. Brown hair and warm brown eyes. I myself am pale and skinny, and as I said, not very tall either. I kind of looked like a white asparagus. But now, standing next to Amy, it felt completely okay to be me. I hugged her and felt her soft body against mine. It tickled all over. "Good night," I said, with my mouth against her nicely smelling hair. But she answered with a, "Come," and dragged me along with her as she left. We ended up in her tent, which was not that far away. She took off all of her clothes but her knickers and top. She laid down and clapped her hand on the mattress as if to say, "Lay down next to me." I was shy and turned my back to her as I took off my jeans and t-shirt. I laid down quickly and dragged a quilt over me. She turned her back up against my tummy and cuddled into my arms. OMG! I was sleeping next to a gorgeous girl. After a while, I could hear that she was sleeping. I will never fall asleep, I thought. But at some point, I must have fallen asleep anyway. I am so happy, Jamie said when we met the next day. I could tell from the look in his eyes that something had happened. He was over the moon. I felt different too. However, I tried to keep the situation under control. Amy came over and quietly slipped her hand into mine. We didn't say much while the others were there. I enjoyed being close to her, and from the smile on her lips and her happy eyes, I thought that she must be just as happy as me. We looked at Jamie and Lucy. Jamie did funny things all the time, and it made Lucy giggle a lot. In the evening, Jamie was kind of speedy, while the rest of us were tired. We had been at the festival for 5 days now, so it was no wonder. It got a bit too much with Jamie's odd behaviour. Normally he is almost as quiet as I am. Now he was kind of manic. Jamie, I pulled his arm. Calm down a bit. I think you're acting too crazy for Lucy. It's none of your business, he spat at me. I know what I'm doing. The next couple of days I didn't see Jamie at all. Amy and I were busy spending time with each other. A girlfriend? I couldn't believe it was true. Oh, it was so hard to say goodbye on the last day. We spent hours kissing and hugging. We agreed that we should see each other again soon. When I came home, I threw myself on my bed. I stayed there until it got dark. I looked at the photos I had taken at the festival. Every time I saw a photo of Amy, I felt warm all over. I think I sent her about 20 text messages, and we talked over the phone for a very long time. Would things ever go back to normal? 2 weeks passed before I saw Jamie again. He turned up on his bike when I was about to go in through the front door. I got scared. He didn't look good at all. His face was twisted in agony. David! He shouted, or at least that was what he meant to say. Instead, it sounded like when you take the lid off a bottle of fizzy pop when the gas is all gone. Suddenly, he let go of the bike and came tottering over to where I stood. I give up, he mumbled. Then he collapsed right in front of me. He was clutching at my legs and curled up like a sleeping kitten. It frightened me. Lewis and a friend of his helped me to partly carry, partly drag Jamie into my bed. He looked as if someone had turned off his power button. I called Lucy and she came over right away. She knew nothing about what had happened to Jamie, since she hadn't seen him in more than a week. While we drank a cup of tea, she told me that they had stopped seeing each other. She cried as she told me how he had been totally manic after they came home. I just couldn't take it, she confessed. I told him that he should just be himself, that that was what I liked about him, and then he ended it. When Lucy had asked for an explanation, he had said, "Because I'm not good enough for you anyway." Jamie just stayed in bed, and when nothing had changed after 3 days, I felt that I had to do something. I found his ID card in his wallet and called his doctor. "Hello," I said. "My name is David Barrows. I'm calling on behalf of your patient James Smith." And then I told him what had happened. "It sounds like psychosis," the doctor said. "Probably because of his marijuana abuse. I think we will have to send him to the psychiatric hospital." It was awful. The doctor came to the house and then an ambulance arrived. It took 3 men to get Jamie into the ambulance. He cried and kept saying things that nobody understood. When they left, I sank down on my bed, totally exhausted. I couldn't stop crying. Amy appeared. I didn't notice her come in. She put her arm around my shoulder. "Poor you," she said, and comforted me, kissing my cheeks. When the tears had dried, I began to speak. I told her everything I remembered from mine and Jamie's life together since we were just 4 years old, how we used to play, laugh, and cry together, how much I loved him as if he were my brother, and how sad I was to realize that the good old Jamie was suddenly gone. I missed him so much and couldn't believe things like that could happen almost overnight. And then I started crying again. Amy, Lucy, and I went to the psychiatric hospital to visit Jamie. The psychiatrist had said on the phone that he was better, but Jamie's eyes were still dark. We went for a walk in the garden. "When I leave this world," he said, "I will jump from a tower." "Don't say things like that," I said, terrified, with a voice full of sorrow. "I can't live without you," I heard Lucy whisper quietly, with her eyes wide open, scared and in pain. She held her hand over her mouth, obviously not knowing what to say. "I'm no good to anyone," he answered, and turned his face away. My heart ached. That hurt. Wasn't I worth living for? And what about Lucy? Wasn't she worth the fight? I put my arm around Lucy, and I could feel her trembling and crying quietly. None of us could reach Jamie. Nothing we could say would convince him that life was worth living. Amy squeezed my hand. She shared mine and Lucy's agony. 6 months passed. Jamie was still at the psychiatric hospital. Sometimes his condition improved, sometimes it got worse. "I can't cope with it," he said to me when I visited, and he was at his best. At other times he would just be lying on his bed, twisted in agony, not saying a word. Life had to go on. I felt bad about having a life when he was almost one of the living dead. I had to cancel one of our appointments because I just couldn't deal with the situation. Lucy got angry with me. "You have everything," she said, "and still you can't even do this for your friend." Amy supported me when I felt bad about it. "You can't stop thinking about yourself, even though Jamie's condition is bad. You've always been there for him. You are a good friend." Lucy had visited him that day. She wrote me a text message saying that he was doing good and that he said hello. The next day, Lucy called me. "Is Jamie with you?" she asked with fear in her voice. "No. Was he supposed to be with me?" I asked her. She continued, "He was okay this morning and the doctor let him go for a walk." As she said that, I pictured Jamie in a tower, but I refused to think of this as a possibility and made the picture disappear again. "He might have gone for a long walk in the sunny weather," I said as calmly as I could. 5 hours later, Lucy called me again. I expected her to tell me that Jamie was back again, safe and sound. "He did it," Lucy cried. "What?" I screamed back and almost lost my grip of my mobile phone. "He jumped from the tower of Hotel Hightower," she said, and then started crying heavily, and I didn't understand the rest of what she said. I didn't say a thing. My body stiffened. Like so many times that year, I broke down crying. My mobile phone was on the floor. I could still hear her talking. I just couldn't pick it up. In the end, she hung up. It was a beautiful funeral. Nothing is as sad as the death of a young person. Jamie was handsome and smart. I couldn't believe that he wasn't here anymore. People made beautiful speeches about what he had meant to them. His mother broke down crying when his sister read a poem that she and Jamie had written together. The poem was full of hope and a will to live. They had written it 2 years ago. All that hope was gone now. Lucy, Amy, and I cried. His mom, dad, and sister had never met Lucy. They were very happy to know that their brother and son had experienced love before he died. I was moved by how caring they were towards others, even though they had just lost someone close to them. I think they needed to share their grief. A couple of weeks later, we visited Jamie's parents. I had mixed feelings about being there. I felt guilty in some way. I was alive while their son was dead. It was difficult for me as well to live with my grief. Was I allowed to grieve in the same way as they were? They had lost more than I had when Jamie died, hadn't they? When Amy tried to comfort me, I walked away from her. That had never happened before, and I could tell by the look in her eyes that it upset her. But I was so filled with grief and anger that I could think of nothing else. For weeks, I didn't reply to Amy's text messages. I turned my phone off when she called me. I was completely numb. I couldn't do anything. Only when I felt hungry did I manage to get up and go shopping. I was a mess. Several people came to my door, but I never answered it. One day I heard a key in the lock. It was Amy and my dad. "This isn't going to work out," my dad said. "Come and live with us until you're back on your feet." I cried and I felt miserable, but I let my dad follow me to the car while Amy collected some of my stuff. At my dad's place, I slowly became myself again. I cried over Jamie's death, and I let myself be angry about being left alone. I never got an answer to all of my questions, but I got to ask them. And most importantly, my dad and Amy agreed that there was no sense to Jamie's death at all. One day, Lucy came to visit. He was so smart and beautiful. He could have had a good and long life. "I still don't understand it," she said. All we could do was to nod and agree with her. It's been 3 years since Jamie died. A lot has happened since then. I can appreciate life again. I still have Jamie with me in my heart. Now I know that we mean more to the people we know than we might be aware of. I saw that at Jamie's funeral when the church was filled with Jamie's friends. They were all sad about his way too early death. I don't know if my life will be long or not, but I live every day as best I can. I show the people I know that I care about them, and I do all of the things that Jamie only got to dream about doing. That is my way of showing him my gratitude for our friendship. I'm not mad at him anymore. His pain was so big that he couldn't see how much he hurt the people who loved him. He is very much missed by all of us. Amy comes into the room with Jamie Jr. She wants me to take him while she gets ready. Lucy, Amy, and I are visiting Jamie's grave. He would have been 27 years old today. Lucy looks really good, and I think she has a secret. Her cheeks are red and her eyes are happy, much the same way as the night she met Jamie. I'm so happy for her.